Good morning and welcome. Thank you for being here. We have many visitors with us today, some passing through and some who live in the area, and we're very grateful that you've chosen to be here. We're very impressed that you've chosen to make this a priority today, and even here at the first of the year and the first of the week. And we commend you for that. We want you to know that we respect you for that, and we'd love to have you come back and visit with us as we assemble here to worship and to study the Word of God and encourage one another to serve the Lord. We're simply a group of Christians, nothing more than that, nothing less than that, hopefully. We're striving to know where the truth and the way is, and that's in Jesus Christ, and we want to point everyone toward that great direction. Very glad that you're here. I want to begin this morning by reading a series of passages. You can listen to these or you can follow along. And I want you to consider that though they take us from virtually the first page of the Bible to the last page of the Bible, that this sampling of texts, that they have something in common. And I want you to listen for that and note that and what it's trying to tell us. We begin in the beginning. Genesis 1 says at the very start, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." We read in Exodus chapter 10 about the experience of the Hebrews in Egyptian bondage, how that they were in the process by God's mighty hand of being delivered. And we read about this plague, the ninth one. In Exodus chapter 10, it says, beginning in verse 21, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt.' So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived." After they get their release, the Israelites are guided by God. We read in Exodus 13 and in verse 21, "And the Lord went before them day by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night." The psalmist, years after the Israelites have settled in the land, as he reflects upon God and His nature and His gifts and His person, the psalmist writes this in Psalm 36 and in verse 9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." And in Psalm 119, an entire psalm that in every statement speaks of the Word of God, says this in Psalm 119, 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And as the prophets warned the people of God to turn back to Him in the midst of their unfaithfulness, they also point to the future when God would save not just the Jews who would turn back to Him, but all people. The prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah 60, beginning in verse 1. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And that was fulfilled. in the New Testament, in Christ, the Son of God. Speaking of that coming, the Gospel of John says this in the very first chapter at its beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And then Jesus himself says, in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And Jesus declares in John 8 and in verse 12, again Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So that the Apostle Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2 to those who had believed upon Jesus as the Christ, who they now were and what they were now to do. When he says in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." And in this completion, the Bible says this in Revelation 22, as it's depicting the full fellowship and the complete fellowship of those who had come to the light and had come to God, this will be the end. Says in Revelation 22, verse 5, "And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." We are physical beings. We live in a physical reality. And one of the basic elements of our physical existence is light. And its main function, though it has several benefits, its main function is illumination. We have experienced that light is a fundamentally necessary thing. We know how that light has to exist for life to physically exist. And that we understand that light is not just a necessary thing, but is a consistently beneficiary thing. There are many good things we get from it besides our very existence. Physically, we cannot live without light. And without enough of it, we cannot function properly. And here's what God does over and over. God takes that which we know so well and that which we've come to appreciate and even depend upon regarding our physical reality. And he parallels that to spiritual reality. Thus, God takes this very basic element, light, and we see that he uses it to teach us about his nature, to teach us about his gifts to us, to teach us about the way that we find the way to God. And it's from cover to cover in the Bible. That's just a very small sampling of what the Bible has to say about light. That God is light, that the way to God is a way that is a way of light, and that we are to be lights ourselves as the people of God. Well, this year's a congregation, our focus is upon Shine the Light. This has been quickly mentioned, whether you heard it or not, but this is going to be our focus this year as a congregation. And each year we select a theme or a focus, and we attempt to do things in our public lessons and do some other things to encourage people to think about this. Not that this thing is more important than anything else, but it's just an apparatus for us to focus upon something to enhance our relationship with God and improve our service to God and deepen our growth when it comes to being like Jesus Christ. Now, and we'll explain more in the days ahead about some things that we're going to be doing in conjunction with this, but this morning is the introduction to it. And in this introductory lesson, I want to talk about two aspects to this focus. And the first one has to do with light, and the second one with the shining. Consider with me in Psalm 27 how the psalmist says in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Over and over, the Bible teaches us that light is associated with the very nature of God, the very person of God, is that God is light. We talk about God being love and God being life, but God is also light. It is so wrapped up into his identity and his person. And he grants it. Isaiah writes, and this is used in the New Testament to introduce the public ministry of Jesus in Matthew, the 4th chapter. The prophet says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined." This is talking about the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And this light, look how it is described here, is it appears in contrast to darkness. Before the Bible speaks of light, it spoke of what? Darkness. And in so many of these passages that we read this morning, in so many others that we haven't, whenever the light of God is talked about regarding his person or what he gives us as far as illumination, darkness is associated with it. That's how we come to know what light is and appreciate light, because it is in contrast to darkness. And so the first thing we're trying to accomplish this year in this focus, the first objective, is to comprehend the light of God. To comprehend it in contrast to the darkness of the world in which we live. Not the physical darkness. We understand the reality of physical light and darkness. That's the first thing that happens in the universe, is the separation of light and darkness. And we understand that our whole lives are built around that. The sun comes up and we get up and we go about our business. The sun goes down and we slow down. Darkness and light dictates our activity. It is so much a part of our reality. The Bible says that just as there is the reality of physical light and darkness, there is a reality of spiritual light and spiritual darkness. It's just as real. It's just as true. And so one of the things that we're going to focus on this year is the idea of comprehending the light, especially in light of the darkness, and to make sure that we're walking in that light. Now, there is an application to mention to this focus this year. Shine the light. That's a directive. But before we shine, we've got to have the light. Before we shine, we've got to comprehend the importance and the greatness of the light. Before we shine, we must understand the contrast to the darkness. We've got to understand the truth that God is light, and He alone provides that light and leads us from darkness and death to light and life. And so that's the first thing we've got to do, and we're going to frequently talk about that. We'll frequently through the year talk about comprehending the light as well as shining the light. We've got to start there. And that this is an eternal light. What truth do we know about every man-made source of light? Think about it. Well, it's limited. In one way or the other, it all burns out. Whether it's light bulbs or headlights, or the idea of the electricity that runs into your house that provides light through the light bulbs, it's got to be constantly fueled by some kind of energy source. If that energy source stops, then that light stops. Everything we know about light, as important, as beneficial as it is, we understand that there are limitations to it. And what of the natural light of the sun? We are told by the experts that the sun is burning, but it is burning out. Although that is not detectable to us, we cannot see the sun diminishing in its brightness. But we are told that there is a capacity that it has, and then it will end. Now, that's a whole other issue about when and how. But that's interesting. Because what all those physical realities are telling us is that light has a limit to it. But that's in stark contrast to the light that the Bible talks about when it comes to God, which is an eternal light. It's an inexhaustible supply of light. An inexhaustible supply of illumination. But it's not just the fact that God's light is inexhaustible. It is superior. It is true and powerful. The most true and powerful light. Several years ago, many years ago, I forgot when it was, but it's probably been like 15, 18 years ago, I was visiting at my parents' home, and I think it was in the wintertime around the holidays, and they had a snowstorm. And it was a Saturday, and I was supposed to preach the next day at the congregation there. And we lost electricity. Didn't have any lights. And I don't know why they had it. Now, understand, I am a hick, but we did have electricity when I was growing up. My parents had a lamp and oil. They literally, I don't know why they had it, but they had a lamp and oil. And so we lit the lamp, and I sat at their bar, their snack bar there in their kitchen, and I studied my Bible and my notes to preach the next day by a lamp with oil. It didn't go well. It's hard to see by those things. It's the only time I've ever prepared to preach a lesson with an oil lamp. Okay, I'm sure Paul did it, but I'm not Paul of great extent. But it was just interesting how hard it was, and I was a lot younger than my eyes, a lot better, how hard it was to see what I had. We understand that these kinds of lights are so much better than the kinds of candles and lamps and oil lamps that people used to have before electricity. This is so superior, isn't it? Well, compare that to the light of God. And the idea of spiritual light. We humans are looking for spiritual light all the time. We're looking for answers. We're not just looking to turn on the light in the car, or in the closet, or in the house. We're looking for light for our path. Light for our way. We're looking for some kind of guidance. What do I do next? I've got these dilemmas, these problems, these issues, these questions. Where do I get some guidance? How do I know what's ahead of me? How do I make my way through things? You ever try to walk through a darkened room with no light? Let alone one where you're not familiar with the room. You can walk and maneuver through a darkened room, but you know where the furniture is. What if you don't know where the furniture is? You know, you've heard of those stories where, you know, teenage kids would come in late past curfew and the parents, for a joke, would rearrange the furniture because they're trying to sneak in past curfew and they stumble, you know, and fall and break things. You've heard those stories. Well, we're living in a world where the furniture's all moved on us. We don't know where everything's at. We don't know what's ahead of us. We have to have illumination. And we turn to all kinds of sources for that. We turn to all kinds of experts, whether it be psychologists or scientists or philosophers or politicians or physicians or whoever, looking for some kind of guidance. And they're all oil lamps. They're all very dim. But God provides the true, powerful light. He is the clearest light of all. That light is given to us by His Word. Ultimately, that light is given to us by the Word of God that came and took human flesh and lived among us, the Son of God. And if you rely on any other source for illumination in your life, you're not going to see all that you need to see. You are going to be fumbling and groping and stumbling along in the dark in your life. About the world, about life, about yourself, about your future, about eternity, and about all the spiritual realities, you're going to be just stumbling and groping and fumbling around in the dark until you come to God and let Him light your path through His Word and through His Son. It is the ultimate light. I tell you the difference. It's like a blind person, blind from death, from birth, blind from birth. They can't see anything. And then they have an operation and they can see. They can maneuver in life. They can function in life. But they really didn't know what life really looked like. And so it is when you allow God to illuminate your way and illuminate your life, you will really see life for the first time, clearly. That's how great this light is. But consider what Jesus has to say about one of the more well-known Bible passages about light, where Jesus is teaching about those who have belonged in His kingdom. And He says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The origin of light, the real spiritual light, is God. However, when we come to God and He illuminates us through His Son and we belong to His Son, we can reflect that light. You've heard the little song that kids sing, this little light of mine. And it's appropriate to say that. Even Jesus says here, "Let your light shine before others," there in verse 16. There's a sense in which you have a light and I have a light. But also let us understand this. We're moons. The moon radiates no original light. You understand that, right? When you look up at the moon at night, it has no source of light inherently in it. It is merely a reflection of the sun on the other side of the planet that you can't see right now because it's nighttime. The moon is merely reflecting the light of the sun back on the earth. That's what we are. The light's not us. It doesn't originate with us. God is light. But we can reflect that light. And so that's the second thing that we'll work on and focus on this year, and that is reflecting the light of God in a dark world. We live in a dark world. I want to say that in the last few years, public events have come about that reflects that there is darkness, but that's a silly kind of statement because it's always true. But I would say this about recent events. When terrible things happen, whether it be a school shooting, whether it be some kind of mass murderous terrorist act, where there'd be something just terrible like that. It's interesting how that people struggle with trying to understand. They're trying to conjure up some kind of physiological explanation as to why this person would do that. Maybe some kind of chemical imbalance. They try to come up with some kind of psychological explanation. Well, they were exposed to these experiences and they had this kind of influence upon them. These buttons were pushed and so this was the outcome. Humans are trying to understand it in some kind of physical way. And there's so many unknowns about those kinds of awful incidents. But one thing for sure, those kinds of things confirm there is a spiritual darkness. And we have to open up our eyes to see that spiritual darkness. When we see evil, terrible, atrocious things done in the world, it is proof that there is a spiritual darkness at work in this world, whether we completely understand it or not. And there are a lot of factors involved in that kind of darkness, but a darkness there is. But we know there's light. We know that there's a way to God who is light. We know that He has sent the light of His Son to us. We know that He speaks to us and illuminates our path with His Word. And we can reflect that. We have to understand that we have a connection to the light that the dark world needs. And we've got to see how important this role is. Our enemy wants us to do one of two things. Our enemy wants us to be so full of ourselves that we think we're so much better than everybody else that we are cut above, and so we float above everybody else, and thus we have no influence upon them. Or our enemy wants us to think that we're sort of dumb and stupid being a Christian. We're sort of a loser being a Christian. We want to sort of keep it on the low. We don't want to say anything much to anybody about it. We don't want to let people know what we think about certain things because they're going to smirk and laugh at us. Our enemy wants us to think that we're some kind of wimp in this world because we believe in God. We believe in the Word of God as true, in His Son as the Savior, the only Savior of the world. Well, that's a shame. And Jesus teaches here in this passage, in even a rebuke-like fashion, that we can't hide the light. Why would you do that? Light, by nature, is not made to be hidden. It's made to shine. You know, think about what are some tragic things that can happen to you? You know, you never know what's going to come in the new year. You never know. But what are some tragic things that can happen to any one of us? We can be attacked by a disease. We can lose all of our possessions. We can lose a loved one. We could have a major family catastrophe or disaster. All those are terrible things. But here's the worst thing. To those of us whose paths have been illuminated by God, that we have been given and shown the light of God, and then we hide that light. We refuse to reflect it by covering it up. And if you've been illuminated through Christ, and you do that, do you understand that you've actually failed in your very purpose for existing? Our popular vernacular in the last few years has come up with this expression, epic fail. That is the most epic of all failures, to be shown the light and then to quench it. But Jesus also speaks of the positive. And He says, you are the light of the world. What a great statement. It's interesting because in a few verses just before this, a few statements, lines right before this, He talks about how that if you belong to Me, you're going to be persecuted. Blessed are you people revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you. See, it's not going to be easy being a Christian. It's going to be easy to conclude that somehow I'm on the right, wrong track. I'm on the wrong side of this thing. That I've made a stupid choice by siding with Christ. But Christ says, remember this, you are the light of the world. And look what we can do. We can shine our lights so that men can see the glory of God. What great things might you accomplish? Well, you may cure a disease. You may start a business that provides a job for 1,000 people. You may have a technological breakthrough that makes communication or transportation much more easy for people. You may pull somebody from a burning building. But when all is said and done, even if you've done one of those momentous things, people are still in darkness spiritually. But the greatest thing that we can do is to shine the light of God, to point people to God, to reflect the light of God so they can find their way out of the darkness. There is no higher calling as a human being to embrace than this right here. You are the light of the world, a city that cannot be hidden. In a way, don't all of us human beings want to shine? That is something that we sort of want to do. But the question is, are we going to try to shine our own light? Are we going to try to shine for ourselves? Broadcast our own light? Or reflect God's by shining His? This is a truth about our physical reality, light. And I would ask you in the coming days and weeks to become more sensitive to light. In a physical way, first of all, look for all the light that's around you. Look for the different kinds of light. Look at what it does. Look how you need it. Look how it helps you. And then take that and carry it over into the spiritual reality. And then become more light sensitive in a spiritual fashion. To get in tune with, to get connected to the great spiritual truth that God is light. That we live in a world of darkness. That He shows us how to maneuver that world. He shows us the path out of that world. He even allows us to reflect that light. And He's calling us to the eternal light. That eternal full fellowship and relationship with Him. Where when we're finally with Him, we'll need no other light. Because He will be our light. Well, Mike has selected this song for us to sing as we conclude here. And we offer the invitation for somebody who has come to see the light. To see that, yes, God is. He speaks to us through His Word. And that His Son has been sent to save us. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can confess that today. And come to the light. You can be baptized into Christ. You can become a Christian and begin to live as lights in the world for God. We sing this song to encourage you to communicate that and make it known. Let's stand and sing.